developing guiding principles for the QAPI program. Setting clear priorities for measurement and improvement comes before the selection of performance measures. This starts by identifying the healthcare facility's strategic goals and its guiding principles related to quality. Since healthcare facilities are complex environments with different departments or persons fulfilling very different roles, taking the time to identify guiding principles helps staff better prioritize improvements and define what should be in versus out of scope. Participants in this process should include senior leadership and as many other individuals as is feasible. The process involves the following steps. Present the organization's vision statement or take the time to create one. A vision statement is a snapshot of the organization's intended future. Present the organization's mission statement or take the time to create one. A mission statement is a way to describe the organization's purpose or primary goal and is used to guide decision-making and actions. Develop a purpose statement for the QAPI program that complements the vision and mission statements and indicates what the program will accomplish. The purpose should also reference the means by which the program will work, by being proactive and systemic change-oriented, requiring all HCP to participate, etc. Establish QAPI guiding principles, such as using it to guide day-to-day decisions, defining quality of care as a key outcome measure, making decisions based on data, or having a culture that encourages error reporting. QAPI at a glance gives a number of examples, like QAPI has a prominent role in our management and board functions, on par with monitoring reimbursement and maximizing revenue. Once guiding principles have been established, organizational leaders should use them to establish QAPI measurement types and requirements. It is important to review external, and also establish internal, measurement requirements by taking into account input from professionals in the field. Priorities from external entities will include national and regional regulations, accreditation requirements, large payer/purchaser expectations, and known areas of interest within the community of residents served. Internal priorities may include services in need of improvement, the concerns of HCP, and clinical care that represents high-risk or high-volume services warranting monitoring. One tool that can be used to set high-level program priorities while still considering both internal and external factors is a SWOT analysis. Once priorities are defined by the organization's leaders, the selection of measures can begin. Designing, scoping, and documenting the QAPI program. Each organization will need to design and scope the QAPI program itself. A QAPI program should be comprehensive and address all the care and services provided at the healthcare facility. Considerations include incorporating QAPI into healthcare facility culture, work processes, decision-making, and problem-solving processes. Having a written QAPI plan with a process to identify, implement, and sustain improvements. Updating the written plan on an ongoing basis. Ensuring that new HCP orientation sessions include QAPI training, such that HCP can describe their role in identifying improvement opportunities. Reviewing quality error reporting and related disciplinary policies for unintended consequences. Example, distinguishing between errors and intentionally reckless behavior. Only the latter merits disciplinary action. Ensuring that the process uses data to drive decisions, including by supporting the acquisition and/or development of HCP with data collection, analysis, and presentation skills. Keeping the focus on systems and processes, that is foolproofing, rather than on individual behaviors, that is finding fault. Choosing specific performance assurance strategies and tools and training HCP on how to use the chosen tools. Types of tools and methodologies include processes for systematically and objectively prioritizing PIPs based on input from various departments, HCP, residents, and families. Performance of RCA with corrective actions linked to the system and process breakdown. Processes/tools for managing projects, including creating a project charter with scope and objectives. Designating and onboarding a team and using project documentation templates to record progress, results, and lessons learned. Processes for assessing the effectiveness or impact of improvement changes that rely on both process measures. Did the change occur and was it implemented correctly? And outcome measures. What was its impact on resident care and quality of life, both immediately after making the change and also later? Example, after 6 or 12 months have passed. Another important part of the design and scope element is to select the tools and methodologies that the organization will use in its QAPI program. Specific tools and methodologies are discussed later in this section. Key point: QAPI should not be considered a standalone or additional program. Rather, it should be integrated into the way things are done and care is provided. Note that the CMS provides a QAPI self-assessment tool for facilities to assess their readiness to implement a QAPI program. This aligns with the CMS action step to take a QAPI self-assessment. Written QAPI plan. Having a written QAPI plan is often a regulatory requirement. It should typically include the healthcare facility's QAPI guiding principles, the scope of the QAPI program, what is and is not included, tailored to the healthcare facility, its services, example, palliative care, behavioral needs, and its demographics, links to plans from larger organizational systems such as all nursing homes in the group. Exceptions may need to be tailored to the specific needs of a healthcare facility. The quality tools, project management tools, and other templates or information systems that will be used. The performance measures that will be used to assess the QAPI plan results, their targets, and a schedule for measurement and feedback. The IPC risk assessment and IPC plan may be included as a section in the QAPI plan. The QAPI plan should be a living document, meaning it is updated as the healthcare facility matures or changes strategies. In this way, it will remain useful. Ensuring HCP actively use this plan is the responsibility of leadership. Types of performance measures. A performance measure is a quantitative tool that provides an indication of an organization's performance in relation to a specified process or outcome. Types of performance measures include structural measures, process measures, and outcome measures. In addition, clinical measures are a type of process or outcome measure related to delivery of clinical care. Structural measures. A structural measure indicates an organization's, a medical subunit's, or an individual clinician's capacity to provide healthcare relative to the needs of residents. Structural measures relate to the environment of care and related administrative policies and procedures from a capacity, system, and process perspective. For example, a structural measure may describe whether there is sufficient bed capacity at a given facility. Structural measures also relate to the quality of physical equipment, facilities, technology. For example, electronic health records, EHRs, and human resources. A robust and resilient healthcare environment can significantly impact the quality of care provided. Structural measures are always indirect measures of quality since the environment and infrastructure will reflect a general tendency rather than following a specific process or outcome. One way to link systems characteristics to the quality of care is to establish relationships between structural, process, and outcome measures. Each structural measure is linked to one or more process measures, and the process measure is likewise linked to one or more outcome measures. For example, if a structural measure is related to e-prescribing software, then its successful implementation is just the first step. A process measure should be related to system training, and an outcome measure should be related to actual staff use of the system, that is, not using workarounds. These extra steps can help ensure that quality of care is realized. Accreditation and certification programs use structural measures in their criteria. Use of an accredited facility sets a reasonable expectation that the resident will meet a certain minimum standard of quality. Process measures. A process measure focuses on a process or the steps in a process that lead to a specific outcome. It is believed that a scientific basis exists to assume that the process, when executed well, will increase the probability of achieving a desired outcome. Process measures can be useful to evaluate quality if they can be linked to an outcome measure. Example, aseptic and appropriate insertion of indwelling urinary catheters and prevention of catheter-associated urinary tract infections, CAUTIS. Process measures are commonly used to evaluate compliance with desired care or support practices or to monitor variation in these practices. They may also be used when the outcome to be measured is rare or difficult to measure. For example, infections after endoscopy, or when there is difficulty acquiring the necessary data. For example, obtaining SSI data after a resident has been discharged. Process measures are also helpful in evaluating the effectiveness of an educational effort as a measure of behavior. For example, compliance with a septic technique for dressing change, or the performance of basic IPC procedures, such as HH. Many process measures are incorporated in the CDC's HCPCS infection prevention guidelines. The Category 1 and 2 recommendations lend themselves well to this type of monitoring. For instance, the Category 1A recommendation to use a septic technique to avoid contamination of sterile injection equipment is commonly monitored in assessing processes that can reduce central line-associated bloodstream infection, CLEBSI, risk. Outcome measures. An outcome measure indicates the result of the performance, or non-performance, of a function or process. Clinical outcome measures can describe desirable or undesirable events. Clinical outcome measures are broad, though many are intended to monitor harm, that is healthcare-associated pressure ulcers, needle stick injuries, readmission rates, etc. Outcome measures used in IPC usually describe undesirable events such as surgical site infection, SSI, central line-associated bloodstream infection, CLEBSI, or catheter-associated urinary tract infection, CAUTIH rates. For example, a specific outcome measure could be the rate or incidence of LTC facility-acquired pressure injuries. The use of HAIs as clinical performance outcome measures is generally well accepted for a variety of reasons, including the long history of use and practitioners' knowledge and experience with established definitions and data collection methodologies. In addition, these are usually in alignment with regulatory programs that mandate surveillance according to shared definitions. Cost-benefit and return on investment, ROI, analyses are two types of outcome measures. They indicate relative efficiency. For example, the cost of safety devices can be justified because they help avoid the much higher potential cost of healthcare-associated hepatitis and HCP. Resident experience outcomes, often referred to as satisfaction, describe the resident's perception of the care received. For example, it has been shown that persons who require isolation precautions for an infection express decreased satisfaction with their care. Clinical measures. A clinical measure is designed to evaluate the processes or outcomes of care associated with the delivery of clinical services, allow for intra- and interorganizational comparisons to continuously improve resident health outcomes, and focus on the appropriateness of clinical decision-making and implementation of these decisions. Clinical indicators must be condition-specific, procedure-specific, or address important functions of resident care. For example, medication use, surgical site infections, or resident assessment. Selection of performance measures and targets/benchmarks to achieve key outcomes. Performance measures that are selected must be valid and reliable. For each measure selected, the organization will need to set targets or goals for desired performance, and it may also wish to set minimum performance thresholds for each measure. The target or goal can be based on a philosophical goal or ideal state. For example, 100% customer satisfaction, 0% restraints if even one is too many. Another option is to set a short-term goal initially and then upgrade it to a more challenging long-term goal once the initial goal is met. This is a type of continuous improvement. The minimum performance threshold is the level below which the process used to reach a goal needs revision or improvement. For example, if customer satisfaction falls below 80%, a process review is indicated. The selection of performance measures for specific HAIs should focus on measures that have clear-cut definitions, provide precise and usable information, are supported by prior studies, and can be applied readily in most hospitals. That is NHSN criteria, LTC facilities, that is McGeer criteria, and ambulatory care settings. They should also be considered clinically important for a given resident population and helpful to healthcare leaders. One process for selecting good core measures for IPC was developed by TJC. It identifies four criteria for good accountability measures. Research. Strong scientific evidence exists that demonstrates compliance with a given process of care improves healthcare outcomes, either directly or by reducing the risk of adverse outcomes. Proximity. The process being measured is closely connected to the outcome it impacts. There are relatively few clinical processes that occur after the one that is measured and before the improved outcome occurs. Accuracy. The measure should indicate whether the evidence-based process is sufficiently effective to improve outcomes. Example, less likely to be subject to workarounds. Adverse effects. The measure is designed to minimize or eliminate unintended adverse effects. The Quality Indicator Study Group, cited in APIC Text 17, Performance Measures, states that it is important to avoid overly broad indicators, such as all HAIs, because these indicators do not provide enough specificity to guide improvement activities.